I want to talk about Twitter and Square to start the show off. So we've been talking about Square for the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
Today, Jack Dorsey, news broke that Jack Dorsey is stepping down as CEO of Square.
Yeah.
So, A, what does that mean? And now, is it time to buy Square?
How fitting was it that he put it out in a tweet? He made a tweet. Yeah, hey, I heard there was news that I'm leaving. I am.
Can't tank the stock. Got to leave on good terms, you know. Short answers. I've been telling you guys Square is the new JP Morgan all year. Interesting fact, I was listening to Josh Brown early on CNBC, and he was like, when he took over as CEO, the stock price was at 45 8 years ago. Today, it was at $45. There is no competitive advantage that Twitter has over Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, Tinder, Bumble, YouTube, which is part social media. I told you guys here a couple of weeks ago, you see that crystal ball glowing real bright, that he was either gonna have to merge them or leave and just run one. Square would be the obvious pick. The value is a hell of a lot better. And because of course, how valuable Bitcoin and crypto is going, he picked the better player of the two. That's why I tell you guys, like, you need a competitive advantage in the business for it to be viable, for you to put all your time, energy, and effort into it.
Ian, correction. He stepped down from Twitter, not Square.
Yeah, Twitter.
Let me just correct that.
I thought that's what you said.
I said Square.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I had you befuddled by my anger. I'm good now. No pineapple juice. I'm straight. I'm not going to go off the rails. Shout out to Ally. I got it together. I got the purple in the back for y'all. See you all, Brazo. But Square is amazing. I've been telling you guys forever, and even when PayPal dropped first, you were like, hey, is Square's gonna rebound faster because it's a better company? Hold Square for the next 5 years and you will be A-okay. I promise you.
Yeah. I mean, you want to, so the stock opened in 2013 at like $41, is now at $45. So you're talking 8 years and the stock has it hasn't made any money, right? So if you've had that stock the entire time, you've gained pretty much nothing. So they just couldn't figure out a way. They have a large user base. They have one of the biggest voices in social media, especially during that presidential cycle. But they just didn't have the money. So people were like, hey, well, he's leaving Twitter. He'll have more time for Square, right? More time for Square means more time for Bitcoin, which he said is if he wasn't doing either, that's what he was spending his time. Mm-hmm. So the writing's been on the wall, right? So I'm just taking you down the timeline, right, of how he's been hedging this thing on the whole time. So in 2018, Cash App, which is owned by Square, starts allowing users to buy and sell Bitcoin. In July, they created a new business dedicated to building decentralized finance. They called it TED, to be determined, right? It was TBD. That was the name of it, right? So it's Phil Furcus was making an easy permissionless decentralized financial services. That's in July. In October, right, they jumped into the Bitcoin mining business. Okay, so there's been signs this whole time. They actually created a white paper for TBDEX. The next news that they broke, I think that was early this month, is that they're creating a hardware wallet. I'm like, okay, you see where his focus is.
I'm telling you,
right?
Competitive advantage at all.
Right, like the writing has been on the wall. So if you were thinking, hey, I wonder if he's going to focus on Bitcoin now, and he has Square, so he's going to focus on that. They've been putting these signs out there the entire year, even the deal with Tyler.
Jay on the beach.
I was just saying, like, I was just going to when you were like, I'm like, yo, Jay is with Jack Dorsey. Something's happening, right? And then we saw the title deal and you broke it down eloquently. I'm like, oh man, here it comes. And so we've been saying Square. And if you were in the Apollo Theater on Friday night, I put up on a Jumbotron.
We're going to go with that. Let's roll with it.
We're going with that. There was a Jumbotron there.
Yeah.
A big screen. When you looked at the call that I had, it was what company? Square. Why? Because we believe in it. And I told you, my brother Ian has been saying it, and I agree with him. And we told you exactly where I was going to get it at and how I was looking at it. The news breaks today. Be ready, y'all.
I spoke about Square on Kenny Burns. Shout out to my brother, Kenny Burns. Yeah, shout out to my brother, Kenny Burns. We spoke about Square today on Kenny Burns' show because I knew it was a trending topic, and we spoke about it, you know, several different times on Market Monday. So, yeah, it's been consolidating. We said this before, but it's been consolidating. And it is 25% off of its 52-week high.
You know we like that.
So be very mindful of Square if you're interested in it. Of course, do your research. Understand what you're investing in before you invest. But
yeah. Can we talk about my company real quick?
204.23 and 190.41 are the two areas to get in. You guys would be good. If I made money, put yes in chat.
My DMs have been getting flooded. They're like, yo, Troy, look at Disney. Look at Disney. Look at Disney. Right? And I'm like, guys, I think you might be confusing me with the day trader. Right? My main focus of even speaking on Friday was to tell you that the market pays those who are patient. Right? If that was our number when we said 160, if I see it at 143, Shadi talks about it all the time. What are we going to do? We're going to average down.
Yep.
And then lo and behold, there's this guy on CNBC who has a stock club now who decides to put Disney as his pick going forward because shout out to Jim Cramer for sure. He put it as his pick. He told his whole club, look, Disney, if you're selling it now, you're short vision on it, right? It's kind of one of these companies where, and we know with the new variant, right? We can see things flipping around and people were concerned, but Disney ran up during the pandemic because of a streaming service. Right. So if things open up and at some point they obviously will, they're ready
to sell off those parks.
They're ready. They're already set up to succeed. Right. They got a whole new cruise line that they've already announced for 2022. I think 92% of the admissions are already sold out. They're primed to have a nice little run and come back. Shout out to everybody that was in there. You don't have to keep DMing me. I see it, y'all.
Shout out to me.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mickey and Minnie, the Disney Club. You said
shout out to me. I'm like, I'm on the energy tonight. We can do that. Disney 140.37. Hot take: Disney needs to get rid of some of those amusement parks and probably go down to one, probably the one in Florida. I know everybody's going to disagree. And then somebody else will say it, but I'm telling you now, if they get rid of that and focus more on streaming, they'll be A-okay. Hold it for long term. You guys will be good.
Let's go into this because obviously the Apollo was the hardest ticket to get.
Yo, we made it to StubHub, bro.
We did make it to StubHub. They was actually selling tickets on in the aftermarket.
Really?
Marketplace.
Yeah, yo. Nah,
price going up.
I heard an offer. No joke. I heard an offer like, yo, I'll pay you $600 right now for a ticket.
Yeah, I definitely saw the tickets on StubHub for about $350, $400. Well, we made it.
You know my motto, premium. Gotcha.
So what are some of the biggest lessons? A few, you know, obviously we can't go through the whole show, but what are some of the biggest lessons from the Apollo for people that were not able to attend?
I'll start because mine is very quick, and then I'll share something really good. And I said it earlier, the market pays those who are patient, and I went into a detailed story of how it can do that. And so when we're talking about Disney and these other, I'm not trading that on a daily basis. What I'm really doing is creating a foundation for my children and their children going forward, right? We're going to hold these stocks. And I know Ian says 5 to 20 years, but I'm like, look, my kids should be living past 20 years. And so I want to make sure they're okay. And I want to give a huge shout out to Taylor. Shout out to Taylor, shout out to Chuck. He called me today and he was like, look, I heard what you said when I came over and you were teaching me how to invest. And he said, I was down like a couple thousand dollars. But I kept hearing you say, look, stick to the script. Mm-hmm. Today he called me and said, look, my account is up 150%. I said, look, that's what I was preaching, man. The market will pay those who was patient. If you make the right investment, if you do the research, you study your fundamentals and your technicals, trust what you do. That is the problem. I made that mistake early in investing. I didn't trust what I was doing. I felt a little unsure because there was nobody around me doing some of the investments I was doing. We now have a community of people who have a similar vision, who can actually give you feedback and actually give you pointers on how to invest and not confirm, but give you guidance when you're unsure. And so shout out to everybody in this community and others, but trust your research and please be patient with your investments.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Shotty, what was your biggest takeaway? Shotty, ready to go already? It was on StubHub for $600. Boy, y'all better not let me do the pricing. Listen.
You know, of course, I talked about the Rashad 10, 20, 30 rule. I have decided to coin
that. You call that?
I have decided to coin that. I have. Why not?
Yo. Yo, oh my God. Yo, Ian, when I saw that tweet, I'm like, Rashad said, I'm like, what?
Why not? Why not?
Yeah, but nah, I think it was dope because I'm like, don't gloss over that. I think that's a great way for people who don't really know how to invest or beginners. Like, that's pretty simplified, right?
Yeah, the Rashad's 10, 20, 30 rule is if a stock is at its all-time high, look for a 10% drop as a decent buy-in price, 20% drop as a good buy-in price, and 30% drop as an excellent buy-in price. And then you can dollar cost down. If you're not 100% confident in the situation, you can always dollar cost down into a position as long as it's a good position. Because mm-hmm. you dollar cost down into like Dogecoin and you'll be still dollar cost averaging down.
Ian
doesn't know about crypto. He only knows about stocks. Man, I just want to make y'all rich, man. I swear, if y'all just listen to me, y'all will be straight, man. Listen.
Yeah, don't dollar cost average down. And for anybody that's not familiar with dollar cost averaging down is, AMD is a perfect example of that, right? So I have an AMD option and I was down 50%. And it wasn't a little bit of money, a substantial amount of money a couple of months ago. But from looking at the charts, knowing that it was moving sideways for about 6 months, it was consolidating. From understanding, you know, that there's a chip shortage, from understanding that AMD has a strong history, I still had confidence, even though I was down 50%. So what did I do? I doubled my position. I added more money, added a substantial amount of money more.
I told you it's gonna be straight.
You're
good.
Today I'm up 300% on that position. So so when you dollar cost down, it brings your buy-in price lower. So you can do that with just regular stock. You can do that with options, but you know that's what we mean by dollar cost averaging downwards. So if you are invested in a strong company that you believe in and you're down, it's not the end of the world. Don't panic. It might actually be
only if it's quality though.
Only if it's good. Only if it's good. That's what I'm saying. Only if it's good.
You guys can't buy a terrible company underneath $50 and think that everything is going to be okay. Go Google what martingaling is. It is the same thing. But you should not average down more than twice. If you have to average down more than twice, it's not good.
And I asked other people's their opinion. I definitely asked Ian his opinion. I talk to Troy every day, so I always ask Troy his opinion. And I'm not, you know, I don't have a high level of pride when it comes to that. I want to know other people. I'll talk to Trap if you know, anybody, Jamal, anybody. I'll ask people their opinion.
You know, if you lose, I'll bring that duffel, though.
So you know, yeah, it's good to have good resources and good friends. So yeah, that's dollar cost down. And then I spoke about Rob. I don't want to talk about that right now because nuclear weapon. I just want to say that I did speak about it.
Okay. Don't panic.
So yeah, maybe later on we'll talk about that. But Ian, what was it for you?
A couple of lessons, if I can do two. One, kudos to my guy P from Dream Team. Marry your target. So for those of you that are trading, you have to pick one target and stick to it for 4 years, no matter what. If you're going to stick with one target for 4 years, please put 4 years in chat. And one that I said that I wasn't going to give up that we talked about Saturday at the VIP day. If you guys truly want to know how to study the volume in the market for all of you that are like videographers and if you have drones, if you are in a major city, it's a hell of a tip I gave. Go use your drone over the highways in major cities for 30 days. And look at when traffic slows down, look at when it speeds up, and then compare that over the S&P 500 and NASDAQ, you're going to see the same parallels over and over again. And that'll tell you the gaps in time, when to get into the market, when to get out, and then when the volume actually dries up. Different level of excellence.
My graduates from my school being Forbes,
bag drop.
Bag drop. A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.